There's not a mom or dad listening today who doesn't want the best for their son or daughter. Especially when they're faced with life-altering decisions, we hope and pray our kids will dig down deep and make the right choices, not only in their childhood years, but long into adulthood as well. Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll conclude a message in Daniel chapter 1. It's part of our biographical study on the life of Daniel. Today, we'll be reminded of Daniel's moral resolve when he had every reason to give in. Chuck titled today's message, How to Pass a Test Without Cheating.
Daniel collected from his mind that early time in his days in Babylon, the strands and the principles he had learned at home and from Scripture. And Daniel, remember, had probably heard the preaching of Jeremiah and Habakkuk and Zephaniah, if my history's straight. Daniel had perhaps seen the blessings of the last days of Josiah's reform. And he pulled from the memory of those great truths he had learned, thoughts that he needed right then in the camp, perhaps on his bunk that night, surrounded by his buddies. And he determined before God he could not let that go. By the way, I am equally impressed that there is not a sign of bitterness in this first chapter. I cannot imagine the indignity of losing one's manhood by force. I cannot think of something that could cause more bitterness in the heart of a young man. But there is not a word here of bitterness. Daniel draws upon his background and he determines, I will not eat that food. He makes up his mind. What did he do? Well, very wisely he approached his superior. Verse 8 tells us, he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now, I'll tell you, that's a wise approach. Here's Daniel with these deep feelings of conviction. I can't eat that food offered to idols. And so he requests from his immediate superior, the commander of the officials, that he might not defile himself. Now look at verse 11. Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over them, verse 12, please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Now, you might think, well, what's the big deal? You know, this official hears it. He can change their diet. Now, wait a minute. You got to understand the problem that this official had. He answered to high pockets up on the throne, a guy named Nebuchadnezzar, who had a way of dealing with you when you disobeyed. He separated your head from your body. Look at verse 10. The official said, I'm afraid of my lord, the king. He ought to be. He's appointed your food and your drink. Nebuchadnezzar said, feed those guys meat. Feed those guys vegetables. Give them the stuff that I'm telling you to give them. Give them the wine. Why, he says, well, why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Look at this last sentence. I love it. Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. Isn't that a neat line? Well, it's your appearance. It's my gourd. I'm going to lose my head in this thing. He looks at you 10 days from now and you don't look good. He'll say, what's the name of that commander over that group of guys? And, you know, I'll be in the past tense. Cut my neck so fast, I won't know it till I sneeze. Then I realize all of a sudden it was a bad decision. Now, let me say something here just in a practical way regarding Daniel and us. Some of you who are Christians find yourself in a most difficult situation, and I enter into it, at least by imagination. I've worked in the working world off and on through school, and I'll tell you, I can feel for some of your situations. But don't put your superior on the spot because of your faith. Okay? You be wise. Daniel, with wisdom, talked to this fellow about his convictions. Look at the divine assistance, verse 9. God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the superior. Now, God will do that. You handle it right, God will honor it. Now, maybe not when you want it, but you handle it right, and the Lord will take care of that need. God granted him favor. Daniel offered a 10-day money-back guarantee, in the words of today. Give us 10 days, and if we haven't done it, go back to your plan. That was a step of faith, wasn't it? And God stepped in and took over. Look at verse 14. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. Isn't that swell? I tell you, the Bible is just filled with such beautiful, practical interventions of God. By the way, you might get the feeling as you read the passage that Nebuchadnezzar is calling the shots. If you get that idea, you've missed three important phrases in three separate verses. Mark, verse 2, the Lord gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 9, God granted Daniel favor. Verse 17, God gave them knowledge. So relax. Don't feel you must right every wrong in your company because you have convictions against those wrongs. You be the kind of employee God would have you be. Now, Daniel said, Lord, you must intervene. And so he did. Look at verse 15. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. That's not bad, is it? The overseer continued to withhold their choice food, verse 16 tells us, and he kept giving them vegetables. Okay? Look at the unique distinctions. How do you pass a test without cheating? Along with these other principles we've given you, you trust God to make you distinct. Just your life. Just your life. It says in verse 17, as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of the book and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. See, that's his major. He majored in that. He majored in dreams and visions. And at the end of the days, this is 3 years later, at the end of the three-year period, which the king had specified, then there was a pass in review, graduation day, cap and gown. They stood before Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar studied those fellows that stood before him. And it says, verse 19, he talked with them. Think of that. The king of Babylon talking to a little now 17-year-old Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it says, after he talked to them, out of them all, there was not one found like those four. And they entered the king's personal service. Wow. Isn't that great? They stood firm. They stood alone. They dared to be men of conviction. And God gave them the distinction of graduating with honors. Now wait a minute, students. I can feel some of you saying, that's the answer. If I go to oatmeal and milk, top of the class. Now, wait a minute. That's stretching the passage a little bit, believe me. Here is a case in point of a man in a foreign court who put his neck on the line, literally, and God came through. The principles that led him to becoming a unique, distinctive person. Verse 20 is a sort of a resume of the man's ability. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And he continued till the first year of Cyrus. Our staff these days is growing increasingly concerned about the family lives of our constituency. Represented in this family of a growing number of people in our congregation are many youths. And the lifestyle of our youths concern us. It's our desire not to be haranguing and harassing from a pulpit or wherever, but to be available to help give counsel. And we're seeking God's mind regarding what can we provide to give dads and moms some direction. Some things we're learning and we're working through as a staff of men with wives and children of our own. How can you learn from some of the mistakes we're making? How can we learn from some of the mistakes you have made or some of the blessings and benefits of your life? You want to know how to pray with regard to a future concept or ministry? Pray that God will give us guidance and wisdom in opening new vistas, new areas of ministry for families who are struggling. It seems as though lately we've become aware of a number in our own church family who are having difficulties with their offspring. Many parents are intimidated by children. Children are also miserable with this reversal of roles, where mom and dad are learning and the kiddos are calling the shots. Mom and dad are submitting and the children are rebelling, running roughshod, not respecting, not giving honor. I'll tell you, it behooves us in a passage like this to put it in everyday shoe leather and to say, you know, one of these days, my boy is going to become a member of the military service. One of these days, he will be alone in boot camp. One of these days, he will unpack his bag the first time in a secular university, and I won't be there. One of these days, he will move out or she will move out of her room and take up their own apartment, and then they'll begin a lifestyle that'll be different. Am I preparing them for that? We are very much concerned that we are helping parents teach children how to make up their minds, verse 8, that they not defile themselves. Hey, but there's just so much that a leader can do, or leaders can do. What are you doing, moms and dads? What's working? When they're really in the crush of all of this, how are they going to come out? I'll tell you, it's hard. I read just this past week, just an aside here, of a young man who was a Christian in a southern university, and he made the football team. In fact, he made the starting split end, and he continually was before God saying, "Help me to in the climax of moments." To be absolutely honest, I pray for honesty. That one integrity, that one mark of integrity, I want to be that, Lord, and I'll work on it through the season. The rival came that night, homecoming, and he ran his route and went into the end zone, and that quarterback shot in the pass, and he got it low. He landed on it, and the referee, touchdown! And that boy knew he had trapped that ball. For you that aren't into that, it means that he didn't really catch it. He landed on it while it was on the ground, and it looked like he caught it. The stands were just cheering, you know, sending him on his way. The hero of the game, he said, wait a minute. You imagine this? Walked up to the referee and shook his head. He said, I trapped it. The referee canceled the touchdown, and they lost the game. Now, you may not understand much about football, you know what it is to be a fan. And that boy stood all alone, not only against a team that said, what does it matter, man? But against the stands full of people. He said, I can't take the credit. I did not catch it. You see, God is tailor-made for that kind of scene. What happens in the end zone at a football game is the same thing that happens to a businessman at a convention or a young woman when surrounded by numerous opportunities to be unfaithful or by a student to take work that isn't his own and to put it on his paper and call it his and to cheat his way through school. Something happens down deep inside Something is lost when that happens. Now, I come with two final concluding thoughts on abiding, what I call abiding principles for today. First is this: inner conviction can overcome any outer pressure. When you have made up your mind, you can withstand any outer pressure because the power of God is at your disposal. I have seen it work in a Marine Corps barracks. I've seen it work in athletic events. I've seen it work in businessmen's lives. I've seen it work in families. I've seen it work in neighborhoods. You've seen it work. And I'll tell you, when you make up your mind down deep inside, you can withstand any pressure. And let me warn you now, the devil is going to tempt you like you cannot believe. I love the true story of the pastor of the church in London, who after his busy Sunday messages got on the trolley Monday morning to go back to his study downtown. He paid his fare, and the trolley driver gave him too much change. Pastor sat down and fumbled the change and looked it over, counted it 8 or 10 times, and you know the rationalization, it's wonderful how God provides. No, it's just, he realized he was tight that week, and this is just about what he would need to break even, or at least enough for his lunch. He wrestled with himself all the way down that old trolley trail that led to his office, and finally came to the stop, and he got up, couldn't live with himself, walked up to the trolley driver and said, "Here, you gave me too much change, you made a mistake." The driver said, "No, it was no mistake. See, I was in your church last night when you spoke on honesty, and I thought I would put you to the test." Now, friends and neighbors, that's where the rubber meets the road. I want you to know that when the conviction is made, Satan will do whatever is necessary to break you down. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can withstand any outer pressure. It's got to make up your mind early, not after you're halfway there. Second, God-honoring convictions yield God-given rewards. When you make a decision to be a man or woman of integrity, the rewards will be later, but they'll be there. Remember Daniel? Promoted, exalted to the stable influence of prime minister for 70 years in a Babylonian court. Now, we sang a few minutes ago, in fact, you may have already forgotten it, a song that I don't think we've sung in this church for 4.5 years, "Dare to Be a Daniel." It falls in the children's section, but it has no business there. That's a song for men and women. It's a song written by a man who knew what he was talking about, whose name was Philip P. Bliss. He was born in a log cabin. At the age of 11, he left home, and he lived in the seamy side of life in lumber and logging camps for a number of years. He imbibed the lifestyle as a young man of that kind of a life, and when Christ saved him, he determined he would leave that life completely. He was married at the age of 21, and he went on the road as a teacher of music. He had a little $20 organ that folded up and sat on the back of his horse. And he went from place to place teaching churches and children and young people alike music for the glory of God. All the while, he had determined he would live a life of discipline, a life in which he would not bend, whether it be by life or by death. That was put to the test time and again in Philip Bliss's life until finally the last day of his life, he was only 38. December the 20th, 1876, he was by then famous. On his way to Moody Tabernacle to lead the singing for Dwight L. Moody in a famous revival. The train in which he and his wife were riding crumbled as the bridge beneath it gave way, crashed down below. He escaped, but he realized his wife was still inside. He crawled back in the cabin, and while he was in there, it caught fire, and he died, arm in arm with his wife. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. The song lives on in his legacy, like Anne Frank, like Corrie Ten Boom, who is herself a message, like Daniel, like you.
There is no way that any of you can tell your legacy today. But believe it or not, you are living it right now. You are building the blocks that will lead toward a future legacy that you will leave to others who will live on beyond you. Just like those people we've talked about, Anne Frank and Corrie Ten Boom and even Philip Bliss. And so I encourage you to think seriously about your life. Perhaps you are compromising in areas that you have no business compromising. Maybe you've weakened your principles, or you've slackened away from the disciplines that could have prepared you for a better life. I've often said it's never too late to start doing what is right. And I urge you to start today. Begin by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. That way you can go through tests and never cheat. God will get you through. He will never lay more on you than you will be able to bear. Join me in prayer, will you? Father, thank you for the many lessons to be learned through even ancient stories like this one. Thank you for Daniel, who stood strong and on numerous occasions stood alone. May we learn from his model how to do that. And may we carry through in a way that honors your name and magnifies the person of Christ. I pray for all of those who have never trusted in the Savior that they might do so today. And I commit them to you now, even as I commit those who know the Lord and desire to walk closer to you. Thank you for the time we've spent in your word. We know it will never return empty, and we count on that today. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ.
Leaving a legacy of moral resolve and personal integrity. That's one of the many lessons learned from Daniel today. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, How to Pass a Test Without Cheating. Well, there's much more to learn from this fascinating Old Testament book, and we invite you to listen every day as we venture into the book of Daniel together. For additional resources, go to insightworld.org. As you likely know, Chuck's teaching is made possible by grateful listeners just like you, who voluntarily and generously give. And we're pleased to offer a special thank you gift today, something that's become an annual tradition, the 2013 Insight for Living Wall Calendar. I'll give our contact information in just a moment, but first, this important word from Chuck.
At some point in our lives, God brings us to a crossroad of decision, an intersection. And that always requires a decision, like, do we turn left or right? Or do we stay the course and push right on ahead? Maybe you're at one of those intersections in life. Perhaps you're there today. That's where we've come here at Insight for Living. Without trying to sound like I'm filled with panic, because I'm not, I must tell you this. Insight for Living stands at a decisive crossroad financially. Donations have fallen so low that in July we had to cut our budget and our staff 10%. This included a few releases on some radio stations. We still need over and above regular donations by the end of October in order to meet the ministry's essential expenses for media costs on multiple radio stations. And trust me, things have gotten lean around this place. And so how can we possibly raise those funds by that time? I sometimes refer to it as an elephant that has plunked itself down, blocking the intersection with no alternative. Even so, I believe we can overcome this obstacle. The question is, how? Well, it's the same way you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. If each one of you within the sound of my voice were to give $25, either as a first donation or in addition to your regular donation for the month, would you believe we could dismantle the beast and push right on through? Now, for some, $25 is a huge sacrifice. I realize that, because we know that for others, an amount like $10,000 or $12,000 would not be out of the question for you. So whatever it may be, whatever the amount, I need you to stand with us. Please, take your bite out of that elephant. Give the most generous gift you can make in order to help us make this impact today. Our phone number is 1-800-772-8888. If you go online, it's insight.org.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And listen, when you give today, we'll say thank you by providing the 2013 Wall Calendar from Insight for Living. If you're listening in the United States, the number to call is 1-800-772-8888. The theme of the Wall Calendar is Traveling the Road of Faith. Again, dial 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. Thursday, Chuck Swindoll tells the story about a king on a couch on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, How to Pass a Test Without Cheating, was copyrighted in 1976, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.